Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
If you have in your bulletin, there's an outline that you can follow along today's talk. And I want to invite you to take your Bibles or your Bible app or whatever and turn with me to Psalm chapter 23. Psalm chapter 23. And if you're just joining us this morning, the last number of weeks, as Joel has already referenced, we have been in a series where we've been focusing on giants. And the title of the series has been Every Giant Must Fall. And it's just a declaration that we've been making. And we're going to conclude this series today. And I want to say that for me personally, it's been a series that I have really benefited from myself, because there's all kinds of giants of fear and giants of sometimes doubt and things that you wrestle with as a pastor. And we are not excluded from the same kind of issues and challenges and problems that you have. We deal with them just as much, sometimes maybe even more, because it's not uncommon that we carry some of the stuff that you carry. And our hearts ache many times for what some of you maybe are going through. But I want you to know that we have a giant slayer. Amen? And guess who his name is? Jesus. In the story that we've been going through with David and Goliath, that's we base this series from on 1 Samuel chapter 17. What we see is David, this young shepherd boy, going up against Goliath the giant. And we see God using David to overcome this giant and to see Goliath come down. And it's really, in many ways, it's a story of great hope. It's one of the great stories of the Bible that is filled with hope. It's a story that reminds us, and one of the big ideas of our series has been that while our giants are big, our God is bigger. Can we just say that together again? While our giants are big, our God is bigger. Friends, again, and even as this series fades off into the distance, never forget that there is no giant in your life. There is no obstacle. There is no barrier. There's nothing that God cannot handle. And so whether it's the giant of fear that we talked about a few weeks ago, whether it's the giant of rejection, feeling the giants of hurt, the giants of wounds that maybe you've experienced in your life. Last Sunday we talked about the giant of addiction. And I really appreciated that song that Joel led us in here a bit ago, In Christ Alone. Christ is our cornerstone. And last Sunday we talked about how that one of the reasons for addiction in many people's lives is because God created us to be dependent. And it's with that, because God has created us with that dependent nature, if we don't find our source of help and strength and foundation and hope in Christ, it's very easy for us to fall into other things. And that's where oftentimes addiction comes into place, because people start becoming dependent on whatever. It might be a relationship, it might be a substance, it might be an activity that can come between you and God, and people begin to find their satisfaction in those kind of things. And eventually it becomes a giant. And so we just believe strongly that there is no giant that God cannot handle. And so David in our story, in many ways, David is a picture of Jesus in our lives. David is a picture of Jesus, who is the ultimate giant slayer. And today as we come to the communion table, which I think is just really fitting that we tie this series up at the end by being reminded of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. How many are thankful for what Christ has done? We live on this side of the cross. We live experiencing the finished work of Christ. We live on the side that Jesus came, the Bible says, to destroy all the works of the enemy. There is nothing that Jesus has not already defeated. One of the things we've said in this series has been that while our giants are dead, they're still deadly. And the reality is that we still live with the enemy trying to rise up, trying to come into our life and exercise his limited authority in our lives. And so oftentimes we live in this tension between we know that our giant is dead, but we live with the reality that his influence is still felt in many ways in our lives. And so not only is Jesus our giant slayer, but the Bible also describes Jesus as our shepherd. And I love the different pictures that the Bible gives to us. And we see how that as our shepherd, we see our shepherd as one who leads, who guides, and protects. And so here in Psalm chapter 23, we probably didn't even have to turn to it for many of you. You probably learned it, you've quoted it, you know it by heart. But it starts with where David, the shepherd boy, writes this psalm, and he has this understanding of who the Lord is. That's where, I believe strongly, where David actually knew his power and authority because of his relationship with God out there while he's tending his father's sheep. And he starts out in verse 1 where he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing." He starts with that declaration. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing. We could just stop right there and we could say that we serve a God, we have a shepherd, that everything we need is provided for in him. How many are thankful for that this morning? That all we need is found in our shepherd, Jesus Christ. But the verse that I want to focus on this morning for a few minutes is verse 5, where in the midst of this psalm, David, out there in the shepherd field, in the fields, surrounded by enemies, surrounded by wild animals, lions, bears, and so on. You know that the stories about that. He says, "And you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Can we just read that together? "And you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." You know, sometimes it's good to stop and ponder a scripture like that. A scripture that oftentimes we just kind of read through and we pass it by and, yeah, I got that. I like that. But just think about this for a moment. Picture this. God has prepared, our shepherd has prepared a table for us in the presence of our enemies. Now, most people, if you were to ask them, would say, "Get me out of this mess. I don't really like to be surrounded by enemies." And sometimes Christians, maybe you've felt this way at times, sometimes people who are followers of Christ have this idea that being a Christian, being a follower of Christ, is going to be problem-free. How many know that's not true? A lot of people have this idea that if I'm going to follow Christ, I'm going to have an enemy-free life. And I think most of us would like to have it that way. But the reality is, it's not true. The Bible does not say that God has prepared a table for us in the absence of our enemies. Now, how many would like it to be that way? It'd be like, no more enemies. You know what? It's the absence of our enemies. No, he says, God has prepared a table for us in the presence of our enemies, not in the absence. And so the reality is, in the midst of the fight, in the midst of being surrounded by our enemies, the Lord says, "I have a table that I've prepared for you." And we have a little bit of a picture of this table that's been prepared this morning. And so I want you just to kind of imagine what that table might include, what it might look like, what might be on that table. And a couple of things that I want to share with you about this table this morning. First of all, is that it's a table of great hope and provision. What God has prepared for us in the midst of our enemies, surrounded by our enemies, whatever they might be, giants that have fallen but still have a tendency to be deadly, God has provided a table for us that has everything we need to survive spiritually, everything we need to survive mentally and emotionally, no matter what it is, no matter what battle you might find yourself in. And let's face it, we are all likely in some kind of battle. We're dealing with some dark valley that we might be going through. Maybe something's going on in your family. Maybe there's something happening in your schooling, in your work world, in your business, whatever it might be. It's not uncommon to feel the threat that we are living with, this constant threat around us. It's so real. But in the midst of all this, God says, our shepherd says, I have provided for you a table. A table that has everything you need. And it might be something like peace. The Bible says that he gives us peace that passes all understanding. I'll tell you, there's so many times in my life where in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of where you're feeling anxious, I find it really interesting that the Bible uses this picture of sheep and shepherd. Sheep have a tendency to be very agitated. Sheep by nature, if any of you have ever raised sheep or been around sheep, you know that sheep tend to be very nervous creatures. Am I right? Sheep have a tendency to be anxious and nervous. And our good shepherd, he says, you know, I understand what you're like. I understand your anxieties. I understand how you oftentimes feel threatened by something that's going around you. And so in the midst of your enemies, surrounded by your enemies, I've created this table of peace and joy and comfort. It's a table of assurance. It's a table of rest. It's a table where you can come and while the fray is going on all around you, you can be still and know that I'm God. I'm so thankful for that this morning. And I pray that together we would sort of catch that sense of God's hope and provision that he has given to us and provided for us. And so it's a table of hope. Psalm 23 is one of the most hope-filled psalms in all of the Bible. And my encouragement to you would be for you to, maybe even this week, would be to read it, to meditate on it. Take it every day and just allow your heart and soul to capture all of the provision that he has provided for us, that our shepherd has provided for us at his table. The second thing I want to say about this table this morning is that it's a table for two. A table for two. And I was thinking a little bit about this week, and I was thinking, I mentioned to Pastor Trevor and Kim that after everyone's gone, you know, we could take their kids, and they could just have a nice little intimate setting here up on the platform, maybe later today or sometime. You could bring in food or whatever and just have a nice dinner, and it's for you if you want to take advantage of it. But I was thinking about this, how that... I'm curious to know how many of you, maybe couples, have ever had an experience like this where you're taking your spouse, your wife, out for a long overdue date. And I'm sure there are many of us this morning that could be in this place where we need to, you know, the date night is a bit overdue and so on. But you've got this long overdue date night, this romantic dinner, and finally you've planned, you've organized, you've made reservations, and you found the perfect spot, and you've been looking forward to this for a long time, and you know, the setting is, the lights are dim, the candle's burning, The table's been set, and you are just now, you've just arrived, and you're just settling in. And can you just track with me a little bit, imagine with me a little bit on this? And you're just now beginning to enjoy the intimacy of the moment, and you're saying, isn't this great that we get to be together? And it's been a long time, sweetheart, and I'm just so glad that we can do this. And then all of a sudden, coming through the dim light of the restaurant, and you thought you had the secluded corner, in comes that loud, boisterous, talkative guy from work. I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but or maybe it's the guy from down the street that is a bit annoying, and he spots you through the light, and he recognizes you, and he comes to your corner, and it's like, oh man, I haven't seen you, Trevor and Kim, for such a long time, and all of a sudden you start talking shop, you start talking about, he starts filling you in about how horrible things are at work, and how, you know, like, what's going wrong, and all of a sudden the intimacy, the silence, the beauty of this moment that you've planned for so long is suddenly broken. And you're sort of like, your eyes are rolling at each other, and then he says something like this: I see you are alone. You know, I've got a buddy coming. How about we join you? And I know he won't mind. Now, I'm sure that we've all probably had one of those kind of awkward moments where you thought you had it all nailed down and everything was just set and perfect. And then someone comes along and interrupts that special moment. I was going to ask, what would you do? And some of you probably would say, you know, get up and punch him in the face or whatever, but that probably would just make it worse. But the reality is, the picture this morning is this. This can happen in our lives. Now just kind of work with me a little bit on this. How that God has prepared this intimate table for us, where he wants to commune with us, he wants to speak to us, he wants to encourage us, he wants to remind us of his love for us, and how easy it is where the enemy comes, that the enemy is looking for an opportunity to join you at your table. And when the enemy comes, the enemy of our soul, the enemy of our heart, he often comes with his lies and with his doubts and with his fears. Like in our story of Goliath that we've been looking at, it's interesting, the Bible is very clear that the enemy came day after day. For 40 days he would come out, Goliath would step out, and he would taunt the armies of Israel. How many of you this morning can relate to those times where you're having this wonderful experience with God, and God is reassuring you, and he's speaking to you, and he's encouraging you, and you're making progress in your relationship with him, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the enemy will find himself coming up to your table. I've had this happen in my life many times, where I know I'm in God's presence, where I know I'm at his table, and out of nowhere, I begin to hear the lies and the taunts of the enemy. I shared with you recently, and even a little bit last Sunday, how that 19 years ago, when we first came here as your pastor to CPC, in the first few weeks, I remember thinking, and we knew that God had called us, but I remember thinking that I had made the biggest mistake of my life. And I was having all of these anxious moments, and fears and doubts were creeping into my soul. I was hearing all these voices, and I shared last Sunday how that I felt very vulnerable and very weak. And as I said last Sunday, when Carl Gustafson said to me, Dave, that's good, because now God can use you because you have admitted your weakness. But I could hear in those early days the enemy saying to me, Dave, you're not going to make it. You don't have what it takes. You might as well just give up now. In fact, I was telling Trevor the other day that it took me almost 2 weeks to actually begin to unpack my boxes because I had so much anxiousness inside of my heart. I remember calling Donna Biro back in Saskatchewan and asking her to pray for us because I was feeling a lot of intimidation over the challenge and over the task that was in front of us. The enemy loves to break into those moments where you know you're in the place where God's called you. And he begins to lie. The Bible says that he is the father of all lies. And we need to understand that. Louis Giglio, in his book, the book we've been referencing, Giants Must Fall, he said the devil wants you to think he has control. That's how he operates. He wants you to believe that you're helpless and hopeless. He wants you to believe that things will never change. And you know what? Some of you right now, you're in a situation where there's something you're praying for and there's something you're believing God for, and you've had God speak to you and give you assurance and peace over certain things, and you're good with that, and you're okay with that, and then the next thing you know, you find the enemy coming and agitating that peace and wanting you once again to feel hopeless and helpless in that situation. And the reality is, as we've been saying, is that our giants are relentless. Even though this series is coming to an end, the reality is your giants will keep coming. They'll keep coming after you. And they will keep coming with their lies and harassment and robbing us of peace. For me, I don't know what it's like for you, but for me, it often happens in the middle of the night. I can just nicely go off to sleep, and then I'll wake up, and there will be something that the enemy will cause to go racing through my mind, and I'll wake up in the middle of the night, and I'll find myself beginning to focus on that and think about that and come up with a strategy. And I've got the whole world figured out in my sleep, and I'm not sleeping, and it's a mess, and I hate it. But it happens. I don't know about you, but the reality is we often find ourselves listening to the lies, and the enemy likes to sneak up to our table and say, you know what? You know what? You really are a failure. You really are not going to do well. You've made some really big mistakes, and I just want to remind you of that. And that's just kind of how the enemy loves to work. And so one of the things that Giglio says, and I love this word, he says, do not give the enemy a seat at your table. Does that make sense? Do not give the enemy a seat at your table. And so just as, you know, Trevor and Kim, you guys are having this nice, intimate gathering, and your boss happens to show up, you know, you just say, Dave, take a hike, man. Like, this is not it. This, you know, we need to remind the enemy, we need to remind the devil that you are not welcome here. I had this just happen a few days ago where I was wrestling, I was fighting, my spirit was agitated, and as I was preparing this message, I was thinking about this. I have allowed the enemy to come to my table. And suddenly it kind of made sense to me. This is exactly what's happening. I was sharing with my wife, and my wife has noticed that oftentimes the things I preach about are the things that I experienced in the week or two previous. And she says, oh, well, that figures. You're going to preach on this stuff this Sunday. And like she rolls her eyes at me, and this is a very common, you know, deal. Like a couple weeks ago, we were talking about unforgiveness. Well, wouldn't you, you know, go figure, you know, we're having to deal with this area where we're having to forgive someone. And it always seems to happen that way. And I was finding that while I'm thinking about this message and thinking about the table for two, I'm realizing that the enemy is coming and joining me at my table and coming with his lies. And realizing that I found myself being able to say, I know where that lie's coming from. I know where that emotion's coming from. I know where that fear is coming from. I know where that doubt is coming from. That's not coming from my shepherd. That's not coming from the God who's invited me to come to his table. That's the enemy that's surrounding me, and I need to resist him. James 4:7 says, if you want to write this in your notes, he says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The Bible's very clear about that. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 says, bring into captivity every thought and make it obedient to Christ. So you get this thought, this lie, this fear, this doubt. You need to say, is this from God? Is this from Christ? If the answer is no, what do you do with it? You bring it into captivity and you say, you're not welcome here. And you make it obedient to Christ. And so I want to just clarify something, though. We say it's a table for two. It doesn't mean that you simply just live your life, just you and God. The picture is here is not about the fact that we don't live in relationship with others. The reality is God has given to us others who can come to our table, who are going to support us, who are going to carry that same faith and hope and trust. How many are thankful this morning? That's where your small group comes in. That's where your life group is so important, that you have people in your life that will carry the same truth and the same values and live in the same hope of Christ's provision, and you can draw strength from that. But the picture here with me is the fact that God has created this place of intimacy for us, this place of fellowship, this place of communion. And so the word again today is, do not give the enemy a seat at your table. Can we say amen to that this morning? Do not give the enemy a seat at your table. And so what are we supposed to do? How can we enjoy the Lord's table? Well, the first thing, before we receive communion, we're just going to look at a couple, two or three quick things here. The first thing is this. Number one, focus on God's presence. Focus on God's presence. And like going back to our analogy of the romantic dinner, guys, this is not a good place to be checking the baseball scores, okay? Just a little heads up for you on that. This is not a good place, sweetheart, for checking your Facebook status. And because these are things that can distract you from this special moment, this intimacy of being together. And friends, when it comes to the table that God has set for us, the beautiful thing that we need to be doing is to be focusing on Him, to be focusing on God's presence. That's what I love, even when we gather into these moments. I love the song we just did a few moments ago. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. To be mindful of His presence, to be aware of His presence. And the reality is, as you sit and wait in God's presence, that you become increasingly aware that God's presence is greater than all of your enemies around you. And there's something powerful about that, hopeful about that, that God's presence, while we are surrounded by our enemies, God's presence is so much greater. The Bible says in Psalm 16:11, in your presence is fullness of joy. And so let these times where you can come and be still, the Bible says, be still and know that I'm God. Let these be special moments where you just enjoy the presence of God. The second thing is really important, and that is to pay attention to your shepherd's voice. John chapter 10 and verse 27 says, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. You know, it's interesting. A mother, when it comes to hearing the voice of her children, she can hear, there could be a playground full of kids, and she can hear one of her children cries out, yells mom, or whatever. And it's amazing how in the midst of the crowd, a mother can pick out her child's voice. And because of that relationship. And we see this here as we follow Christ, as we follow our good shepherd, as we spend time with him at his table, we learn to hear his voice. And we learn to hear what he says, and we accept what he says. We pay attention to what he says. In the midst of all the lies and all the threats of our enemy around us, we hear the voice of our shepherd. And if I was to ask you, what kind of things might we hear? I'm sure we'd hear things like our shepherd saying, I love you, and I'm for you, and I'm not against you. We would hear our shepherd say things like, I want you to know my peace. I want you to come and at my table, help yourself to all that I have for you. And while you're at it, while you're taking some peace, I want you to fill yourself up on some joy, my joy as well. Jesus said, I've come that you might have peace. He says, I've come that you might know, that you might have joy, and that your joy would be full. How many are glad that when God gives to us something, he doesn't just give it to us in little thimblefuls. He gives it to us in all of his fullness, including his joy. You might hear the shepherd say things like, I'm not finished with you yet. We've only just begun. You know, some of you are fairly new in your faith. You're new believers. You're new in your walk with Christ. And the Lord is singing that little song to you. We've only just begun. You know? I remember that was a hit song when my wife and I were dating, and we would sing that to each other in the car. And yeah, how many remember that, Eric? You live that far back, you know? Yeah. Carpenters were our favorites back in those days. But the Lord is saying, I'm not finished with you yet. You may feel like a failure. You may feel like you've messed up. You've got so many weaknesses. And the Lord is saying to you and to us today, I have a plan for you. You are my workmanship, and I see such great potential in you. That's the voice of our shepherd this morning. I love this theme of the ladies' retreat coming up. It's going to instill into you, women, that you can soar. You might feel like a Canada goose or whatever. You may feel like you don't have a lot to offer, but the shepherd is saying, I have so much potential for you, and you're going to get to hear that. The shepherd might say things like, you know what? You can do all things through Christ, through me, because I will strengthen you. I want you to know this in those times when you're doubting, that he's going to say to you things like, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You can take that to the bank. I will never leave you. You can trust me. You can trust me with your life. And on and on. That's why the Word of God is so important. Because the Word of God is God's voice, God speaking to you. That's why every day we need to be feeding on His Word and hearing His voice, allowing God to speak to us through His Word. The reason oftentimes the enemy will sneak in is because we are not defending ourselves with His Word. Which leads me to the last point. Along with focus, along with paying attention, we need to keep our guard up. 1 Peter 5 says, be alert, for your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And friends, even at the Lord's table, the enemy is still looking for ways to come and take you out. And as I said earlier, he's relentless at it. He's not going to stop. He's not going to give up. And so, as Giglio says, while we don't need to be afraid, we need to be vigilant. And there's some tremendous truth in that. We don't have to live in fear. We don't live in fear of the enemy, because that's exactly what the enemy wants. But we need to be vigilant. We need to be on guard. We need to be aware. Interesting, David took down Goliath, but Goliath had a few brothers. And just because one giant comes down, it doesn't mean that there's another giant wanting to come in and take you out. And so the enemy will always look for those weak spots. He will look for those soft targets. And the Bible simply warns us to be alert. It's just good biblical counsel, biblical advice that will help you to stay strong and on guard so that you can enjoy everything that the Lord has for you at his table. And so as we come to the Lord's table this morning, the communion table, the interesting word for communion is come into union. That's the kind of the roots of that word. Communion. We're invited to come into union with Christ, our shepherd, this morning. We're invited to come together. Jesus said, come unto me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Some of you have had sleepless nights. Some of you have been so beat up by the enemy harassing you and taunting you. He's saying today, stop paying attention to the lies of the enemy and come to my table. Come to my table. Come with your burdens. Come with your fears. Come with your anxieties. And I will give you rest. And recognize that Jesus, our giant slayer, is also our shepherd. And he says, I have a table for you. A table, even though you are surrounded by enemies, a table where you can focus on my presence, which is greater. And the good news today is this, as Jesus said in the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, he said, whosoever will may come. I am so thankful today that there's not a person in this place that God will not turn away from his table. And while the enemy, we can turn him away, we should never turn, he will never turn us away. He will never turn you away. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me as we prepare our hearts for communion. Communion, the communion table reminds us of what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. He gave us life so that we could have a relationship with him. And some of you this morning have drifted away from the table. You've gone, the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. As sheep, we have a tendency to wander. We have a tendency to go after other things, to look for the grass that's on greener on the other side of the fence. We're distracted by many things. And we've lost our focus. We've lost, some of you maybe have lost your first love. And the Lord is calling you back to his table this morning. In fact, right now, as the good shepherd, he's pursuing you. He's going after you. And today might be a day where some of you realize it's time to come home. A few weeks ago, we had a young man who, when we talked about coming home, he said, today, I realize I've been away from God, and today I'm coming home. That might be for some of you this morning. A time to come back to the table. A time to come home to Christ. Some of you, maybe for the very first time, need to do that today. You realize that the Lord is at the table. It's prepared for you, but you're not there. And I'm wondering this morning how many in your own heart might say, Pastor Dave, I'm not at the table, but today I want to be. Today, I want to come to this table that Christ has provided for me. A table of hope, a table of love, a table of forgiveness of sin. A table that says there's nothing that will separate you from me. And if that's you this morning, I want you right now in your own heart to say, Jesus, I'm coming back to the table today. I'm coming home this morning. I'm coming to your table. I need your forgiveness. I need your love. I need your grace. If that's you this morning, would you just, if that's you today, if this is speaking to you, if this is touching your heart in some way, that I've been away from the table and I'm coming home today, or I've never been at the table and I need to come for the very first time, if that's you today, would you just for a moment, just slip up your hand. I want to pray for you. Just everyone, head bowed. Anyone today would say, Pastor Dave, I need to come back to the table today. That's you before we receive communion. Anyone here this morning, just slip up your hand. Yes. Anyone else? A number of you. 3 or 4. Anyone else? Just real quick. Bless you. Yeah. Father, we pray for these individuals today. We ask right now in Jesus' name that you would give them, that your voice would penetrate their soul. And while everything is shouting at them with condemnation and judgment, you are saying to them, welcome home. Welcome home. Welcome home. Welcome home. Welcome to the table. Welcome to the table. We're going to invite you to come to the table. We've got 3 stations, 2 up in the balcony and down here, where you can come and receive the symbols of Christ's blood that was shed on the cross, the cup, and his body that was broken for us today. And the reason Jesus did that is so that we could have this relationship with God. How many are thankful for that this morning? That we can have this intimate fellowship. God created you to have a relationship with him. And communion reminds us of the price that was paid to destroy all the works of the enemy so that you could have a relationship with God. And I want us to remember that this morning. That's why we do this regularly, because you know what? Sheep, we're kind of dumb. It's so easy for us to forget that. I constantly need to be reminded of my Father's love for me and what Christ has done. And so, some of you, welcome home. It's the first time. This might be your first time of receiving communion. We welcome you. This table is open to anyone who's received Christ. You don't have to be a member of Comox Pentecostal Church. All you need to do, know, is that you are a follower of Christ and you've given your life to him. It's not for perfect people. It's for weak people who need Christ. Help. And so I encourage you to come. Take the cup. Take the piece of bread. Take it back to the seat nearby you and maybe take a moment with a spouse or a family member or someone nearby, and pray with them and give thanks to God together. And this is a very special moment. And so we're going to invite you to come. Come to the table. Whosoever will may come. It's in these moments that I'm really thankful for the body of Christ, because God's given to us each other. As we said last Sunday, Jesus died alone, but we fight in packs. And I've thought about that this week a few times, where sometimes, you know, we just feel alone, but God's given to us each other so that we can face our world, face our challenges, face our enemies, deal with them together with hope, with truth, and we go forward. And you know, it's nice and safe in here, but as we head out into our community, into our world this week, know that Christ goes with us, and that we do this together. And so, Father, we pray your blessing upon our church family as we go into this week. We pray for our gathering tonight as well, for those that will be with us. We pray for our brothers and sisters in our church. We pray for those that today have come home, and we welcome them, And we pray that together we would go forward in the name of Jesus. And we thank you now. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to say if there's any that would like a prayer for anything specific, like some people just to agree with you in prayer, feel free to come up here even now as we close. And have a great afternoon, everybody. Have a great week. God bless you.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.